was a good ball played in for Tony Morley. Oh, he missed it!
Hello, good evening, Aston Villa fans, and welcome to the Villa Forever podcast. I am your host, Chad Williams. Please subscribe. Make sure to give me a follow. Also, you can follow me on Spotify, Apple, and Amazon Music. Let's spread awareness of Duchenne muscular dystrophy. This evening's episode, I'm joined by my special guest, Tom, who is Brentford's correspondent for Planet FPL Pod. This is the match preview. I'll be doing the pre-match talk show. Brentford versus Aston Villa on Saturday afternoon in the Premier League is a 3 p.m. kickoff. Aston Villa travel to West London, which is our first away day of the season. It is our first away fixture. We are the visitors against the Bees. It is Brentford's first home game of the season. And Brentford, during the summer, have gone through a lot of transition, including new players. And they've got a new head coach, Keith Andrews, who was a set-piece coach last season. Great to have you on the show, Tom. How are you?
I'm good. Yeah, thank you very much for having me. Pleasure to be here. So, yeah, always good to talk about Brentford. So, I'll happy to join.
Yeah, thank you for coming on the show. It'd be good to actually get a Brentford perspective. Look, I did see, actually, that your team is a completely new lot, Brentford, really.
Yeah, lots of change. Obviously, lots of players out of the door this summer. Obviously, the big ones being Brian Mbeumo's obviously gone to Man United and all got off to Arsenal. And it still looks likely that we'll see Johan Visser out the door at some point. And I think, yeah, most Brentford fans are quite looking forward to him leaving it now at this point with the all of the issues that have happened over the last couple of days. And so, yeah, big changes. And obviously, yeah, Mr. Frank leaving as well.
Yeah, there's some real quality players there. Sort of to replace some of the players that obviously you've lost as well.
Yeah, it's big. I think Mbeumo's been obviously sort of, he stepped up so well last season, obviously with Tony leaving, and well, him and Visser obviously were fantastic, and so it's big losses for us. Hopefully, not too big, and you know, many. Over the many years we've been following Brentford and the rise that we've had, it's sort of par for the course really for us. You know, we have and always, well, not always will be, but hopefully not. But at the moment, we're very much a selling club, and you know, the structure is well known. I think in the Premier League, with us bringing in a lot of young players, developing them, and then turning some big profits. So, you know, and Mbeumo is the next in the line really of big sales we've had. And to be honest, the way he treated the club and went through and how the transfer went through was, to be honest, pretty amicable. And, you know, you wish him well and you hope for the best, and you hope he does not too well against everybody else, but hopefully not too well when he comes back to, when he comes back to the G-Tech. So yeah, it's been an interesting summer,
Well, very kindly, you sent me your team liner, the predicted team liner for Saturday.
Yes.
So just get it up on the screen. So can you talk me through this team then?
Yeah, absolutely.
Brentford set up.
So I'm pretty certain we'll stick with the same formation going into the game as we did with Nottingham Forest. There's a slight possibility, I think only slight, that we would revert maybe to a five back, which is sort of something more that happened in the Frank era. after the performance on Saturday, there's, I'd say, slightly more of a chance we do it, but I think this would be my favoured 11, and I think the 11 we will have. So a pretty similar team to what we had against Nottingham Forest. I think the only difference is we'll have Mikael Damsgaard back in place of Malambo, who played as the 10. On Saturday, Damsgaard was only missing because it was the birth of his first child, so he was relieved to go and go for that. I think Carvalho started on the left with Keenless Potter on the right, and I think it didn't really work. I think Carvalho will move back to the right, and I think Chardé will come, obviously, was fit and came on in the second half.
It's gone for a real attacking lineup.
I think you'll have, Damsgaard will sit in the 10. And I think what we'll have is we'll have Yarmolenko and Henderson as more sort of deeper midfielders. Yarmolenko's pretty good as a defensive midfielder. And I think the problem we had on Saturday is we were pretty overrun in the midfield. And I think Jensen, it was quite an attacking lineup we put up against Forest. I think Malambo, Jensen, and with Yarmolenko sat behind, it was a little bit too much. And Jensen, for me, is a great player and has taken us sort of to a pretty good standard, obviously. But I think it's difficult to play him when he doesn't have a bit more defensive cover. I think with having Henderson in there, a bit more leadership quality, a little bit more sort of experience in the middle, I think it will give us a little bit more structure in the centre, which we definitely didn't have on Saturday.
Yeah, it's important to have your team to have sort of leaders. And also, you know, your goalkeeper, Dustin Kelleher, he's also got, with Keith Andrews, there's an Irish link there as well.
Yeah, it's quite an interesting, I'd say, back three we have really now. So obviously you've got Keller, who's obviously come from Liverpool, as well as Sepp Vandenberg, who came from Liverpool last season. So they've got a sort of relationship from their time at Liverpool together. And then obviously you've got the Irish link up with Nathan Collins sat ahead of Keller. And so hopefully what we'll see quite quickly is a nice partnership between the three of them building. Collins and Vandenberg, I thought, built a really good relationship last season, obviously with the previous Mark Fleckenin goal. And that started to get stronger, I think, towards the end of the season. We saw with Sepp Vandenberg starting the season more as a right-back cover, and then towards sort of the end of the season, took over from Pinnock as sort of the right-side centre-back. And then obviously now with Keller coming in, I mean, I can't say I watched too much of him last year when he deputised for Alisson. Yep. But from what I've heard from friends, from Liverpool fans, he's a great goalkeeper. So yeah, I think it's hopefully a good upgrade from what we had last season.
I can see the squad as well. In that team that you got, it's a good chemistry. There's a lot of different players.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the nice thing is this year is we've bought in obviously a few players, but I think the big thing for me is we've bringing back defensive players who've been injured for a long period of time. So I think obviously Aaron Hickey, who I think Hoda will start at right back, but we reintroduced Aaron Hickey last Saturday. I think it was his first game in around about, I think it's something silly, like 500 or 600 days, almost 2 years out. And obviously Rico Henry was injured for a lot of last season. And I think they'll both be massive helps to us this year and almost hopefully come back as sort of new signings for us from a defensive point of view.
Does it Norgaard, has he left?
Yes, he's gone to Arsenal. So
I think he's a big loss.
Massive. Yeah, massive. I think he was a really consistent presence last year. I think he played pretty much I think he missed two games last season. I do think that Henderson coming in, although it's sort of like an older, but it's also like a wise head. I think he does obviously bring the experience, hopefully, that's lost by Norgaard. Yep. And I think that he will take some time, obviously, you know, integrating into a new team with new players around him. But I think you've seen it with Tuchel in the England squad this year. You know, I think a lot of people were surprised that Henderson was involved and included in that squad. And I think that sort of pays tribute to him as a character that, you know, Tuchel, you know, brings him in as part of that England squad, because whether he's still got the quality, I guess we'll see. But obviously, nice to see some experience come in when obviously much needed after the loss of Christian Norgaard.
So we'll talk about Saturday then. What do you expect him from Saturday?
we'll see. I'm I think obviously, so I watched obviously your game against Newcastle and was quite impressed. Obviously, I thought we played really well until the Konsa red card. And obviously our performance against Nottingham Forest was pretty abysmal. I would say it was, to be honest, a mixture of us playing poorly and Forest playing incredibly well. So I think it's going to be an interesting game. I'm hoping we'll be a little bit more defensive in structure to begin with, because yeah, the early goal really did was a really big kick in the teeth for us, and sort of, you know, but they definitely dominated. Does need, I think, the inclusion of Damsgaard coming back into the team, hopefully someone like Henderson and obviously Kevin Sharday being a bit more of an out ball will hopefully be of help. But I think it's going to be a tough game for us. Hopefully us being at home will give us a little bit more of an edge than being away.
I don't think it'd be an easy game for Villa. Expecting a competitive challenge. But I think I can see us getting the job done to get the results. For the last few seasons, we've come out on top.
Yeah, I'm sure Ollie Watkins is his favourite at the moment, scoring or assisting against us. So I'm sure Ollie will come back to haunt us as he normally does. It's been... Villa for us has always been a tough team to play against. Obviously it's a very good side. So, I'm sure everyone's going to be up for it. I think especially after the last game we played with yourselves, I think Ollie Watkins gave a little bit back to one of the fans that was sat in the back, and I think it was a bit misconstrued. It was a bit misconstrued, I think, because he actually was directing it at a particular individual in the crowd, and I think then the Brentford fans saw it as he was celebrating at everybody. But he did come out and say, you know, no, that wasn't the case. Frank actually came out and defended him, to be honest, and said, no, you know, there was one particular fan sort of giving it to him. And he's still very much in the hearts of Brentford fans. But hopefully he doesn't score or do anything on the weekend.
Well, I remember that season before. Was it Martinez and somebody else got sent off?
Oh,
remember Rhino scored?
Yeah, is that the Neil Morpay and Martinez bit? And I think...
That's it, yeah.
Yeah, I think Martinez gave him a little kick while he was on the floor and, a bit of squaring up. And, that was... Yeah, I mean, we've been... I think it's more tongue-in-cheek, really, but there's been a few whispered rumours that Neil Morpay may come back this summer just as a sort of added backup to Brentford. But I don't see it happening, but it would be quite funny.
It's always been a feisty encounter.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I guess the history of guys taking Dean Smith off us as well, and Ezra Konsa. There's a few stolen characters, as well as obviously Ollie Watkins. So there's no bad blood from the Brentford side, I don't think. But yeah, it's always been a nice feisty encounter, and yeah, always a good game, and always a good game.
Also, Keith Andrews, in transition, I'm thinking Brentford with him. They're just into playing in a different way of philosophy.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, really. So I spoke to a lot of people and fans. It was actually quite widely reported that we interviewed quite a lot of people outside of the club as well. Yeah. So I think the decision was, it came down to, they actually thought he might be the best person for the role. Of all the people interviewed, now obviously we don't know who went and saw the job. I guess the idea is to give a bit more consistency when you've got a transition of so many players leaving, and the fact he was a consistent last year, hopefully. I think there'll be teething issues at the start where he goes from that sort of coaching role to more of a management role, and obviously changes his, I assume, relationship with the players, where it's more potentially more of a friendly relationship when he's a coach to being sort of the boss. But yeah, I think it'll be an interesting one. I hope he'll do well. I think it's something that, you know, I've always really liked about my club, that, you know, we give chances to players and people that sort of you wouldn't expect. So with a bit like with the B team, we've got, you know, players that have been previously released from other academies coming in playing for our sort of second team. So I've always sort of liked that about Brentford. And I'm hopeful that he'll do well. I think he needs time, definitely. But yeah, a bit of time, and hopefully everyone pushing in the right direction, we'll see some positives.
And you got a new look attack. So do you think that the players you brought in Do you think you've replaced the world, do you think?
I think we need one more. So obviously, Dango Itara has come in from us from Bournemouth, which looks more like he's going to be the Mbeumo replacement. Obviously, Kevin Sade is still there, and Cavalio from obviously signing last season, but didn't really get the game time. Thiago was signed also last season as sort of Tony's replacement, really. But again, he got injured in the first game. It's actually pre-season he got injured in the first 45 minutes. But with Wissa going, if Wissa does go, if he does eventually go, then yeah, I think for me, there's one more needed up there. But obviously replacing, obviously Mbeumo's goals and Wissa's goals is going to be hugely difficult. There's a lot of creativity still behind it. So Mikkel Damsgaard was fantastic last season and was actually player of the season, even though you had Wissa and Mbeumo with all the goals they scored. So there's still a lot of creativity in the team. But yeah, we do need to make sure that we have a goal scorer who can put them in the back of the net.
And Thiago is Brazilian.
Yeah. Didn't see it so much on Saturday. I think, you know, first, and you know, it's only his second, I think it was only his second appearance in the Prem. So, you know, it's going to take some time for him to adjust. It's obviously a big step for him. But yeah, hoping for a bit of creativity. He has sort of he's a big old guy, big build. And whether it's sort of an attempt, whether it was an attempt for him to be very similar to Ivan Toney, I don't really know. Obviously, I've been restricted really to watching, I think, all of about 200 odd minutes of him so far. So yeah, time will tell if he can cut it. But yeah, again, fingers crossed. You know, we spent a good amount of money on him, so hopefully it'll work out.
But from an Aston Villa point of view, I expect a few changes. I think actually this game, potentially you might be not going to three at the back.
Mm.
Or even, you might even start Daniel Marlon.
I really like Marlon, to be honest. I think he's a really good player. I think there's been some good signings from Villa over the last few years. And the squad is, I mean, there's some serious quality in there. You look through the Villa squad, and there's good quality players in all those positions. I mean, obviously with Morgan Rogers coming through last season as well, he was fantastic. I mean, he's such an incredible player. So yeah, it's going to be really difficult. Interesting that you think maybe you go to three at the back as well. I guess, do you think that would be because of Konsa getting sent off?
Potentially Konsa. I think we wanted some more in protection. You've got more than some physical presence. Good morning, like my co-host. I'll do a show with him on a Monday. He predicted three at the back.
Okay.
He's more, we had a discussion about it. And he seems to think that, not potentially.
Right.
Yeah, that's... obviously you got Paul Torres, Mings, and most of them like Bogard.
Okay. Yeah, interesting. And then having sort of wide attacking players running down the wings at us and trying to expose us, I guess.
The wing backs, then you've got like Matthew Cash. Yeah. Getting a bit more former, maybe.
Yeah. And what then, Digne the other side, or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we need something, try something different a bit, because in the last game, I think we didn't really attack enough. We need to show more intensity in this game, I think.
So would that be two up top then as well? Would it be Watkins and Marlon then playing up top?
I want Marlon more on the wide, I think.
Okay.
Just with the left wing, wide.
Yeah.
I was going to say as well, also, we can cause breadth of problems in transition and counter-attacks.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I think the strength you're going to have over us this weekend definitely is your midfield against our midfield. Our midfield definitely isn't there at the moment, and it's not got that. I mean, with losing Norgaard this season, it's definitely a different beast in midfield for us. And I'd say it's a little bit from a physicality point of view, it's lost a little bit. I mean, Yarmolenko, who's in there, is very young. And Damsgaard himself's not a big guy. So that's why sort of we lost a bit of physicality with Norgaard. He was such a ball-winning beast, really. So it's a big loss there. And so hopefully, I mean, it might be even that we dip back into the transfer market before it closes to see if we, you know, there was a couple of links with a Christian Uch from, I can't remember where he plays for at the moment, in one of the La Liga teams. So potentially, I mean, that would be...
You're in a really busy window.
Yeah, we've had quite a few incomings, which has been good. Yeah, it's good to see us doing bits. But it's all been... The problem is it's all been bits. It's not been additions to us, if that makes sense. It's been having to be replacements almost, rather, which is always not a good place to start from. It's always better to get the person in before having to return rather than having to replace the players. But, I mean, it's something we're very, very used to at Brentford.
And going back to Don Yamane, we need a lot of pace. He'll give us a lot of pace. I mean, Don Yamane, he's a good finisher.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I think the only thing I can see for the weekend is the nice thing about Brentford is we do have some really pacey players. And so hopefully we can try and keep up with him. Rico's back and he seems to be flying. So, watch him on the weekend. He doesn't look like he's dropped too much pace from where he was previously. And then hopefully there'll be some support with Kevin Chardé as well, who's, super, super fast. So hopefully we can try our best to keep up with him.
We're going to get another graphic on the screen showing Aston Villa's last four results away from home against Brentford. It's on record at the JTEC Stadium. Obviously, last season we won 1-0. The season before, we won 2-1. There was a 1-1 draw. Then in Brentford's season back in the Premier League, they won 2-1. So what do you make of that graphic?
I think, well, I mean, I know definitely the first two seasons, so the 21-22 and 22-23 seasons were really good seasons for us. Obviously, our first season, we were excellent when we came into Prem. I know the 23-24 season was really tough. We really struggled, not last year, but year before last. I mean, obviously finishing pretty low down in the table. So that one's expected. Last season was really good, but we did struggle. We had a few games where we struggled quite well. And to be honest, as I think I said earlier, you know, Villa's always been a pretty tough fixture for us. I think that win, I think if I'm right, the 21-22 win is the only win we've had against you in the 4 years against Brentford. I think I'm pretty sure. That might not be right. I'm not 100%.
So we've got a pretty good record, Villa, then.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. And most of those goals are scored by Ollie Watkins as well, I think. So.
Obviously, ex-Brentford player, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
But you never know with Brentford at the JTEC. It's not, I don't know what you're going to get with Brentford in general. It can be a funny team like that. You don't know what to expect.
I think you've picked a good, I mean, not you've picked, you guys have picked it, but the fixtures are definitely kind to play us early this season, I think. After watching the Forest game, I think it's going to take time for us to get through this transition. And so getting us nice and early, I think it will be a struggle on the weekend for us. I hope we can maybe get a point out of it or something like that. But I think it's going to be a pretty defensive setup from us. And that's why, I alluded to potentially we could go to a five back if it all went horribly wrong. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see.
Well, we drew against Newcastle. So Emery be looking for us to get 3 points.
Yes. No, absolutely. Yeah, I think you guys deserve the 3 points really against Newcastle as well. I think it's quite a good performance, wasn't it? So
okay. Do you want to talk about a big talking point then? From a Brentford perspective. So how did you feel after Thomas Frank left? Did you see it coming?
So I think obviously Frank's always been quite bullish that, you know, what he always said, it's not always the grass isn't always greener. And so he was always quite bullish about that. And I think for me, it was always, okay, right. It will always take a big club for him to come in, to take him away. And I thought, well, at the moment, you know, obviously United with Amorim, Chelsea are pretty comfortable at the moment. All the big teams were sort of pretty, I'd say, weren't making too many changes and weren't making too many moves. Yep. And for me, I think the Tottenham job Tottenham winning the Europa League was actually the worst thing that could have happened for us. Because I thought, so once they won the Europa League, it's like, well, the good thing is...
him getting the Champions League, the Tottenham playing Champions League football, I think Thomas Frank, he would have stayed.
Yeah, I agree. And so I think almost the... When I saw that they got Champions League football, and I was like, well, that's fine, because Ange will now stay. And so I was a bit shocked when he got sacked. But as soon as he got sacked, for me, that was the moment I'm like, okay, this is getting nervous now. And I think then the first moment I sort of realised it was coming to the end is we signed, obviously, Kelleher from Liverpool. And every transfer we've done in the Thomas Frank era, there's always a post. So it's on the news page that they put on the Brentford website, there'll be like a little post from the player, a little bit from Phil Giles, who's the director of football. And then there'll always be a finishing statement from like Thomas Frank saying, you know, this is what we like of the player, this is why we've picked him. And on the statement that was on the Brentford website, there was a little bit from Kelleher, there's a little bit from Phil Giles, and then there was nothing from Thomas Frank. And at that point, you just went, oh no, he's gone, isn't he? So, yeah, I think the nice thing is I sort of saw it coming at that point.
Yeah.
I didn't want to believe it, but...
But he was gutted.
100%, yeah. I mean, you think he's already... Hopefully, I think he's already showing that he's an excellent manager. I think people were a little bit worried that potentially, you know, he was comfortable at Brentford and didn't have the ability to step up. I mean, for me, you know, I hope he absolutely smashes it at Spurs. I hope he does really well because, you know, what he's done for us as a club is fantastic. I think the good thing from a Brentford point of view is, again, we've been there and done it from this point of view. Yeah. So, I mean, when Thomas Frank came in, he was assistant manager, obviously, to Dean Smith. So, and everyone said at that point, well, that's not going to work, is it? That's not going to be the right thing to do. And we've done it previous before that with Mark Warburton coming in, who was director of football at the time. So it's one of those where it's sad. But I think for us, we look at it as like we have with all our players, you know, over the years, we've lost players like Ollie Watkins, Saeed Benrahma, Ivan Toney, obviously. And it's never really set us back too much. I think this season's probably the hardest because we've lost probably the most amount of talent we've ever lost in one go.
I think it's a shame. He's gone to another London club.
Yeah. Yeah. Not too... I mean, personally, I'm not too bothered by that. I mean, Spurs have never really been a big rival to us. And I think for him, it makes sense as well because, you know, he's not having to relocate his entire family to a different part of the country. He gets to try Champions League football. And to be honest, he gets probably a bit more money to spend in the transfer window than he did at Brentford. And I would also probably say he's probably got a bit more control from that side because, you know, Brentford is very much... At Brentford, he was head coach. He obviously got involved and made decisions on the transfers, but it was very much a team decision. I'd say Phil Giles and Matthew Benham still have a huge amount of control over the club itself and what we do. And Thomas Frank really was a cog in part of that, whereas I don't know whether going to Spurs, he becomes a slightly bigger cog, making slightly bigger decisions.
Without Thomas Frank, it's real big shoes to fill. Because he completely transformed Brentford. I mean, for a championship team, to a consistent, established Premier League team.
Yeah, I think the good thing for us is we've been through the transitions similarly with different managers. I think it's more the consistency. He's been there for such a long time. But for me, the club has always been bigger than the individuals in the club.
Yep.
So we've always been, everyone always says how well run the club is. And so while Frank has always been the sort of the voice in the face while we've been in the Premier League, I think behind the scenes, there's much more going on than just himself. It's a very much a team dynamic, I think, at Brentford from a management point of view. And so from my point of view, it's a huge loss. Obviously, I think a fantastically talented manager, but I don't think it's, you know, nail in the coffin that everyone sort of, I think, alluded to that it'll be, you know, our downfall this season and relegation. I think, you know, I think there was a lot of people interviewed for the Brentford job. And at the end of the day, they made the decision that they think that the set piece coach is the best thing to go with. And they haven't steered us too far wrong at the moment. I've supported Brentford, 20 plus years. And since Matthew Benham's taken over, them and obviously the board have never really steered us too far wrong. And so until they put real reason to say that, you know, we've made a horrible mistake. I'm pretty happy to back Keith Andrews until, yeah, until it's...
I mean, Thomas Frank, he played a wonderful brand of football, which was very effective. And in the end, the plan, it worked.
Yeah, absolutely. I think what we'll see this year, though, is I think the idea of bringing in someone like Keith Andrews as part, because he was part of the backroom staff, is that there will be a consistency from what Frank had previously. So I think that at the moment, the formation being played, obviously against Forest, was very similar to how it ended on the last game of the season for Brentford, and not a huge amount of change from a sort of formation point of view. There, I'm sure there will be slight changes from a sort of how the game is played and what we do, and you know, build a play and transition. But I think there'll be minor changes to change it slightly to how he would prefer us to play. But also, I think it's a, yeah, it's a positive. It's not, I think it's not a massive, it's not as big a negative as everyone's saying that we've brought in someone who's, we're in the end, if you've got a club in huge transition, is where there's a lot of players changing. For me, bringing in someone who knows the club, who has been in and around it, it can be the opposite. It can be a positive effect because players aren't having to learn a completely new way of playing football. They're playing a similar brand to what they did previously.
It's a gamble.
Oh, 100%. 100%. Absolutely. Yeah, it's definitely is a risk. You could have brought in someone who was a little bit more experienced. But I guess that's the same with any manager, really. You know, if you look through sort of all the Premier League and managers come in, you see huge names go into big clubs and, you know, it doesn't always work out as well as everyone expects it to. So I think, you know, by bringing in someone who's completely unknown, there's almost actually less of a pressure on him because everyone's expecting him to fail. So if he doesn't fail, he's actually a success. And so maybe that's part of the madness that makes the plan work.
It's a bit like with Dean Smith when he joined Aston Villa. A little bit similar, the way he come in. He actually did a good job during his time.
Yeah, I really liked Dean Smith. And the fact he was sort of obviously from the Midlands himself, you know, as soon as Villa was interested, that he knew he was gone. He was a good manager. I liked him a lot, actually. Smith. So, yeah.
Going back to Thomas Frank, he brought in a lot of his own players, a lot of Danish players, a lot of Scandinavian players.
Yeah, there's quite a few. Obviously, a few of them have left already. Christian Norgaard was obviously. Christian Norgaard, Matas Jensen, Mads Roslev. There's a few in there. Jensen's really the only one. Damsgaard, obviously. So, but Damsgaard and Roslev and Jensen are still the ones remaining at the club. Roslev's sort of bit part now. He was away last season on loan. Jensen's obviously still in around the first game. Obviously, Damsgaard's really important to us. I did find quite interesting, and maybe it's pure coincidence, but the fact that we signed an Irish manager and then immediately signed an Irish goalkeeper did make me laugh. And so whether we're going from Danish year.
About Keith Andrews, because you know he used to be he was an ex-player. He played for a number of clubs, but I don't mean he hasn't got really managerial experience, has he? Really?
No, zero. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is his first like head coaching role. He was assistant manager at Sheffield United and obviously, a set-piece coach with us last season. It's a huge jump.
He played for Wolves?
Yeah, I mean, from a playing career, had a good playing career, played in a lot of Premier League teams. So he has experience. I think that's a good one that, you know, he has experience playing in the Premier League where, you know, I guess a lot of these players are sort of newer to the Premier League. So hopefully some of that experience is positive. So from a playing point of view, he had a lot. I mean, Thomas Frank had zero playing experience. And so hopefully, you know, having a little bit of that playing experience will, you know, rub off on the players. He gets maybe a bit more of an understanding of the players, maybe. But yeah, it's interesting. It'd be interesting.
Going back to Thomas Frank, what he did well was he completely changed the mentality, the mindset and the culture at Brentford.
Yeah, I think for me, like, he was a big part of that. But again, for me, he was just a part of it. So I think he was always the voice and the face of the culture of Brentford. But that culture was started, I think, along much further ago. Mm-hmm. So with obviously Phil Giles, Rasmus Ankersen, who was the previous director of football, the two of them were joined looking after the team, and they really instilled that culture with Matthew Benham, I think. And for us, that the culture that comes across, I think, so well when Thomas Frank speaks, actually quite a lot of Brentford rubbing off on Thomas Frank rather than Thomas Frank rubbing off on Brentford, I'd say. We've had that culture in place really since Benham took over, I'd say.
You're an excellent at recruitment.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah, so the background on that is, part of it is, so Matthew Benham's business was a company called Smart Odds, which is a gambling business, and they used a lot of data which was sort of unknown in the back that people don't really use so much and is being used a lot more. But they also do things where, so a lot of people talk about, Brentford use a Moneyball system. It's uses some data, but more of it, a lot of it is to do with going to visit the players themselves, talking to people outside of that. So making sure the player has a good background, has a good support network, when things go wrong, who looks after the player, and making sure that there's more of a support to that player and that the player has good characteristics and mentalities. So, I think it's been very much simplified by Thomas Frank as, I say, I don't know if I can swear on this one, Chad, so I won't do, but the no heads policy, as many people see it and have heard about it. So, I think it's the club, its culture is very much together, and that sort of culture, I think, has been bred through. And I think maybe, again, one of the reasons why we've brought in someone internally rather than externally is because you have someone that we already know is part of that culture and understands what we stand for, what we want to have as a club.
So let me touch on it a little bit. But what is your thoughts on Keith Andrews? As a fan, were you happy about it? Or?
I think I'd say when I first heard about it, I think the best word is underwhelmed. Because, of course, you can only see what you hear in the media. And so for me, it was like where you saw firstly links with Justin Cochrane, who was one of the assistant managers as well with Brentford, and you sort of looking at it and you're going, well, there was the old Ajax manager was available. Yeah. You had people like Edin Tadzic, who was the Borussia Dortmund manager, and all of these names are being listed, and then you see top of the list is Justin Cochrane, who's obviously an internal assistant manager, and so you're going, okay, well, looks like we're going to go with someone internally. That's fine. And then all of a sudden it's coming out in media that, oh, actually, no, he's going to Spurs with Thomas Frank and we're actually going to sign and we're going to employ one of his other backroom staff. It felt very much of a downgrade, let's say, because it's like, oh, we wanted this one, but then we decided to go lower. I think it's come out since, really, that actually we did interview Justin Cochrane, but actually the board basically didn't quite feel he was ready for the role of a first team coach. And the media obviously found out about it, so that's why it was so widely reported that he was going to get the job. And then when basically they decided that he wasn't going to get the job, that's when he decided to move with Thomas Frank, because obviously it became clear that they were going to employ another assistant manager, and he would end up becoming then an assistant manager to what was previously his counterpart. So it seemed like that's actually the reason why he left for Spurs himself, and obviously then they went with Keith Andrews. And so as time's gone on, I think it's gone from underwhelming to more of like a hope and a... Yep. We've clearly, over the years, the club has done a lot of things right. And so we're hoping that this is another one of those decisions where it goes right again.
And Keith Andrews is determined to prove the doubters wrong.
And I think that's very much a Brentford mentality. I think when we came up in our first season, it was just constantly, well, Brentford are going to lose this, Brentford are going to go back down. And for us, it's always been, we always have been, and to be honest, more than likely always will be because of the size of the club, we'll always be the underdog. And I think it was well known, obviously, in our first season and obviously in previous seasons, how well we've done against the big sides because, we go there and just go, well, we're going to go for it. And again, that sort of underdog mentality, I guess, at Brentford of, what can we do? And can we just go for it? So, yeah, I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful he does well. And yeah, we'll see how he gets on.
He's got a real point to prove.
Yeah, it'll be interesting.
Well, my prediction, I do think Brentford are going to struggle. I think they're struggling.
No, I think
we'll see.
No, I agree. I think it's going to be a real struggle this season because of just the amount of transition, obviously. You know, the amount of players that have gone, the new players that have come in, and obviously with a new manager, I think it will be a difficult season. I do think we've got enough quality in the team to keep us going and get us over the line against some of the other sides sort of in the league. You know, we've not stood still and we have invested the money. Hopefully there'll still be a few more incomings before the end of the season. Before the end of the transfer window. But it's only time will tell now, I think. It's important, you know, for us it's almost there. We've got 10 or so days to the end of the transfer window. But I think there's still enough quality in the team to get us over the line. It's just whether it all clicks together.
And obviously, he's going to be under a lot of pressure.
I think externally, he'll be under a lot of pressure. The media will obviously put a lot of pressure on him. But I think actually internally, and obviously from a fan base, we understand that, you know, we've brought in someone that has no managerial experience. Yeah. And it may take a few games for that to click. So, I mean, I think Thomas Frank, I think I'll get this wrong horribly, but I think it was something like his first 7 games, we didn't win a game.
Well, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and so, but we stuck with him. And obviously, that look where that took us. And it was always that, okay, the results weren't going our way, but the performance and how we played was working in the right direction. And so I think as long as the club give him the time and they see, you know, even if the results aren't going our way, but the performances are there and maybe the luck isn't quite there yet, that we, you know, get the right people in it and it continues at the right pace.
Well, we'll talk about Aston Villa. We'll talk about their recent outgoings. Talk to your mic of our outgoings, including Leon Bailey and Leander Dendonka.
Yeah, I think, obviously looking at it, I think because Dendonka was on loan last season, wasn't he, if I'm right?
Yep.
So I think that's a good one to go, really, because obviously just get him off the wage bill. A bit slightly older player and, you know, wasn't really main or around your team. If I'm right, Bailey was on quite a big wage, wasn't he? So he's gone to Roma, is that right? Roma?
Yeah, he's gone to Rome, yes.
And I guess...
Going to a permanent...
So I guess on that one, you know, I guess it's such a... He was on quite a large wage, if I remember rightly. And I guess with you guys, I think the main issue obviously you're seeing at the moment is the joys of FFP.
The PSR, SCR, and all that,
yeah, all of them. I guess it's so difficult because of those restrictions. And so getting someone off the books, especially if he's not going to be a key starter for you, if he's on a big wage, then for me it's, great move. Get him off the books, get someone else in, or you know, utilise the rest of the money in other positions. So, yeah, definitely.
Jermaine Dendonka is somebody who's always struggled to move on. But I just assume get that wage bill down. And even, I did see that, I think it's undisclosed. Or it might be about a free transfer. But even so, it's still not that hard for financially, massively.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
With Leon Bailey, he's somebody that's really struggled. Probably since last season. Because really, I think with Leon Bailey, he only shows glimpses of what he can do. But for me, he's not consistent enough either.
Yeah, very patchy it always seemed. He'd go on a run where it'd be a few goals, but then, all of a sudden it'd be nothing and, all going wrong.
Yes. Because that season, we've got Champions League football. And the season before was his best seasons. Which is a shame, really, but because he had that potential in him.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. Yeah, I think he's always a good player. Just, as you said, very bit part and wasn't always consistency. Yeah, consistency is always a big one.
And injuries have always affected him.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Okay. I wasn't aware of that, to be honest, but yeah, it's interesting.
Well, that hasn't really helped him either. Because we're not wage bit of our squad. Is 14 big still?
Yes, right. Yeah, because I assume that's why you didn't sign Rashford permanently in the end.
Yeah, and he went to Barcelona.
Yeah, sure. No, absolutely. But I guess I guess his wages, whatever he was on at Man United, must have been
big huge. Wages, yeah.
Huge, yeah, huge wages. Yeah. So yeah, absolutely. And it was also you meant... Sorry.
It all helps.
Yeah, absolutely. Because is that why? Because you mentioned obviously Marco Asensio as well. So is that a reason you've not gone for him, or is that because of the wages?
Well, we'll come to that. But he is actually supposed to be returning.
Okay, right. Will that be loan or will that be permanent?
I've got a feeling it possibly could be another loan.
I mean, I think that's really good because I thought he was excellent last season.
Yes.
Especially with your...
We need somebody like his quality.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So, okay, I'll talk about Marco Asensio then.
Okay.
So, would it be a good signing then?
I thought he was really good last season. I don't watch as many Villa games as yourself. But the bits I did watch, and maybe, you know, you might tell me different, but it seemed to be every game I watched, he was sort of a difference maker. He is. Yes. I've always thought he's a really good player anyway. But I obviously haven't watched enough of him. And then, yeah, obviously saw you guys were linked with him last season, then bought him in on loan. And then the games I did watch, he was excellent, I thought. So, yeah, I think that'd be, I mean, it's obviously a really good, shrewd signing if it's again, and if it's another loan as well, that's obviously always, I guess, good for you guys because it's
another kids as well. It's an impact first, and you can change the game on its head, you can unlock defenses.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah, he's really good. Who would he replace in the team, or where would he come in for you guys?
I'm thinking he'd be sort of like a player, that'd be sort of rotation player. I don't think he'd actually play every week. But you know, because we've got so many competitions. There's only your opening, competitions like that.
Mm. Yeah, of course. Yeah, absolutely.
I think last season we only saw glimpses of what he can do. But we see that all the time. There's more to come from him.
Yeah, so I guess especially if there's more games for you guys, then he can be more consistent if he gets more game time as well, I guess.
Yeah, that's another thing as well about him as well. He can add to our squad depth.
Yes. Yeah. No, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
And it gives us different options.
Yeah, I mean, if he's not starting as well. He's a perfect impact player for you guys off the bench, isn't he? I mean, a player of that quality. It's not bad. Not a bad player to call upon.
When you look at the clubs he's played for. Look, I said to you, like it's a Real Madrid, PSG. So that shows what the quality of the player he is.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, I'll come to my final question. So, do you think Brentford will survive in the Premier League this season?
In short, yes. I hope so. I hope so, obviously. I think there's enough there. I think the positive for me this season is, although we've lost a lot of goals up front, there's players that we previously signed the season before to already cover that, and hopefully... You know, with the additions of like the Dango Ataras, Nancy Malambo's coming in. For me, the thing that's been really good though is the actual structure of the defence. Obviously, a change of goalkeeper, but from what I hear and what I've seen so far, Hopefully a little upgrade in the goalkeeping department. But, you know, the return of players like Aaron Hickey and Rico Henry at fullback gives us so much more strength and depth. I mean, last season we were playing midfield as a left back. We were playing, you know, players all out of position in the defensive areas. So I'm hoping a little bit more structure in the defence. And hopefully we can recoup some of the goals through some of the new signings. I hope we have enough. Yes.
And if you survive, that's a good achievement.
Yeah, massively.
Sort of, you don't envision Keith Andrews' first full season.
Yeah,
depending
absolutely.
On if he lasts, obviously.
Hopefully. Yeah, it'll be. Yeah, it'll be interesting. It's going to be an interesting season for us all round, really. I think the main issue, you know, if it was last season, I'd have been super confident we're staying up because obviously I think the three that came up last season from the Championship were pretty poor. This season is to be determined, but obviously, you know, Leeds are looking not too bad and Sunderland obviously spent a huge amount of money in the transfer window. So, you know, the fact you've got two of the three that have come up, you know, trying to spend the money, trying to get there, you know, it's always makes it a bit more nervous.
Yeah. Because a new look team, but you know, there is some quality in there.
Yeah, absolutely. No, there's some great players. I mean, as long as we can keep hold of all the rest of them now, I think obviously Visser will more than likely end up leaving. But if we can add one or two more in there, maybe a midfielder, maybe one more attacker, I think hopefully we'll be fine.
Well, we're going towards the end of the show. So for Saturday, could you give me your score prediction?
I will be optimistic, Chad. I'll say 1-1. Yes. I'll say 1-1. Not too optimistic.
You're playing it safe.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I'm gonna go 2-0 win to Villa.
I think that's also that's not too far off, could be true as well. So yeah, absolutely.
Well, Tom, I really appreciate your time up tonight.
Been an absolute pleasure. No, thank you for having me. It's been good fun. As I said, always fun to speak football, and then obviously always more fun to speak about my club as well. So, no, thank you very much.
And it's good to give an insight from the Brentford perspective. Look, I've more like an inside information.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, good. I'm glad it's been good. So. Yeah, very much enjoyed it. Thank you.
Also, Tom, you have to spread the word about the podcast.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, so as Chad said at the start, so I'm the Brentford correspondent for a channel called Planet FPL. It's a channel that's mainly talked about fantasy football, hosted by a guy called James, who's a Spurs fan for his sins, but a very, very knowledgeable man. Mainly talks around fantasy football, but he has 20 correspondents, which is a person from each team. Who give their insight into their own club. For me, it's Brentford. And that's us.
Were you smashing it?
Sorry?
You're smashing it?
Yeah, they're doing really well. So, yeah, it's nice to be part of it. It's they're a good crowd of people, and they're, yeah, good fun to be chatting with.
Well, I'll give this episode a share on X.
Yeah, brilliant. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you everyone for watching. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please remember to make sure to subscribe and make sure to smash the likes on the way out. Make sure to give it a share. And if you're listening via audio, make sure to leave us a good review. That always helps. Also, make sure to let me know your thoughts in the comment section. I'm going to wrap up this episode with Villa Forever, as always, and up the Villa.